Okay, I'm going. Are you going? Tell me when you're going. Are you there? Oscar? Hello? Where have you gone? Is it my Wi-Fi? I don't know. Should I just play some guitar? Where have you gone? I'm gonna WhatsApp you now. Ba 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 boom. I think it's my Wi-Fi. Oh wait, you're there.
Okay.
There we are. We're going. Okay, I'm back. Okay, we're good.
I think we should start this off by coming clean. I do ski approximately once a year. I haven't done it the last year because of COVID, but I have been skiing and I think I recognize the problems. But we're going to chat about the potential problems and also how you can ski perhaps more sustainably in this episode. Hisho, do you have anything to come clean about?
I ski probably every other year. I mean, I'm from Vermont, so I should probably ski more often than that. But yeah, every other year I go to the Alps, which is quite a big trip actually from where I am, less so from where you are. Obviously, there's some aspects that are unsustainable, but let's get to that. Let's see. Yeah. Hello, listeners, and welcome to Fighting Failure, the podcast where we discuss solutions to the climate crisis. I'm your host for this episode, Hisham Kanan.
And I'm your co-host, Oscar Archibald.
So today is going to take on a slightly different style than the regular episode because this episode is a very special episode and is part one of a two-part sequence of episodes. Today, Oscar and I are going to take you through the environmental implications of different nature or outdoor sports and how to do them more sustainably.
Despite this being a sort of special episode, we decided to slot it into the urban expansion segment of season two because as population rises, more people play sports. One of the newest classifications of sports is outdoor sports, which are currently extremely popular. Outdoor is in the name, so you'd really expect them to be environmentally friendly. However, there are some negative implications to certain outdoor sports. Luckily, there are a lot of ways that we can fix them. That way, we can still enjoy nature through sport, just in a more sustainable way.
Yep, and today we'll be focusing on winter sports, specifically skiing and snowboarding, sledding and snowshoeing, some of the slightly more common winter sports.
And stay tuned for the next episode in 2 weeks where we'll be discussing the summer sports. To start, let's talk about skiing, snowboarding, and sledding, which are all generally downhill sports that involve the use of a device to aid in an increased speed of motion down the slope. Hisho, it's a very complicated way to say a ski lift.
Yeah.
Basically, right.
It's not ski lifts.
You're not,
it's,
yeah. Well, ski lift is like the general term for like all the different things. You know, there's actually like heli skiing, which is where you get a helicopter to aid in an increased speed of
motion.
I'm
not talking about ski lifts, though.
Are you not?
No.
Oh, you mean like skis that like give you a frictionless run?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was writing this also. I wrote all the way up to like here, somewhere here, late at night on like Friday or something. So I was not, there's some, yeah. I just didn't bother to read through it or anything again.
Well, anyway, so. A device to aid in an increased speed of motion down the slope.
Well, but why don't you you can just do that part in your head. Just do that off the, just cut out this and then just do it however you want to do it.
Okay, let's try this again. To start, let's talk about skiing, snowboarding, and sledding, which are all generally downhill snow. What? To start, let's talk about skiing, snowboarding, and sledding, which are all generally downhill sports that involve the use of a certain device or piece of equipment that lets you fly down the slope at fast speeds. AKA skis.
Wait, can I put down my guitar for now? Because it's like,
you don't have to hold your guitar for the whole episode, Hisho.
Well, it's because I was thinking we were going to do the guitar at the beginning. But then
No, it's fine. I have the power of editing. I can make you play the guitar at any point during this episode. In fact, you're going to be playing the guitar right now.
All right, I'm back. So, okay. One of the biggest problems with skiing is the resorts. So these resorts tend to be very extravagant. So they're, you know, designed for the leisure of the people who kind of go to them. And so you go to a ski resort. I don't know how many of you guys have been to ski resorts. I know that both Oscar and I have been to ski resorts.
I mean, worth caveating that, I don't think I've been to like fancier ski resorts that are like, I've definitely been to ski towns and I've been skiing in Italy. where you do have like, they're called ski resorts because it's like the, there's a sort of company that manages the ski lifts and the like, but the sort of places that I've been at least don't tend to be like very touristy or fancy. They're more like villages with ski lifts, because we sort of like to avoid a lot of those sort of, you know, huge, you know, masses of tourists, for probably quite obvious reasons. But that said, like on summer holidays, when I was not trekking, but like hiking the Tour de Mont Blanc, we definitely came across some of those more touristy areas like Chamonix, Les Arcs and Bourg-Saint-Maurice, those sort of areas. And so, yeah, I definitely know what you're talking about. But if you're not sure, I think the real problem that we're addressing here is that, you know, skiing is not something that, you know, you can go, you know, what, on Saturdays. We don't record on Saturdays because I have rowing on Saturday mornings. And that's, I don't, you know, go, you know, by plane 6 hours to get to the other side of the world to row in like a lake or something. You know, I ride down to the local river and that's where our boathouse is. And especially for playing something like football or rugby, you know, you can play those sort of things in your backyard, if not in a local sports field. So I think this is why skiing and snowboarding and these sort of things are very different, because there's this resort, which is this destination. So continue, Hisha. I think you're talking about like the problems with resorts.
Yeah, well, so the sort of the biggest problem is as you get this increase in ski resorts. So I know definitely sort of where we've been in the Alps, we've not stayed at any of these resorts. We've also sort of tried to avoid them. But in Vermont, there's ski towns, quite similarly to kind of like what you were describing, and then there's resorts. And some of these resorts are super, you know, they're designed to be dynamic for tourists, and so they're super extravagant. So there's they have in one of the ones in Vermont, they have a water park inside the resort, inside that sort of like lodge, which is even active during winter. And so it's just this idea that, you know, it's just another way of boosting this kind of consumerist mindset. So you go there, you pay extra money, you go to the water park, which is just a huge amount of money being spent. And it's not even on the sport you're there really to do. And then these ski resorts, of course, then you have a ton of people coming in. They take a warm shower at night. That's a huge amount of water usage. And then it's a huge building, these huge buildings and huge chalets. And if you think about it, that's a huge amount of electricity being used. And then there's a kind of large expansion in the electrical grid that's required to accommodate for that growth in these kind of rural areas where you get these ski resorts kind of building.
Yeah. And I don't think a warm shower at night is necessarily the biggest problem with skiing, as we'll see later. Skiing actually has a ridiculously huge water usage. And obviously people would hopefully have a warm shower wherever they are. But I totally get your point about when you have this sort of consumeristic mindset and you're going to the ski resort and you sort of, you know, it's a holiday and there is, as it says in the show notes, here, like indulgence that surrounds travel. Like maybe at home, you generally try to eat plant-based for the environment. But if you're in Italy and you're going out to a restaurant every night, après ski, it's going to be pretty tough to find plant-based options there. I'm speaking from experience. I think we went to pizza one night and I had like this marinara pizza, which was tomato-based with a bit of herb on it. And that was about it. So yeah, that when you, it's not only because obviously something like just eating food or using electricity is a baseline for most people wherever they are. But the problem is with these ski resorts, and that it's not a problem that if, you know, you're playing football on a Saturday, is that sort of real indulgence of, you know, you're going out to restaurant, you know, there's problems associated with restaurant, even if you do eat plant-based food because of the sort of overheads in that sort of environment. And, you know, you're, these sort of big buildings that perhaps encroaching on natural habitats, there's a lot sort of extra indulgence compared to perhaps your everyday life that you see in ski resorts, because it is, you know, it's a holiday destination. And, you know, what do you expect? People are there to have fun and they're there to indulge, but that is certainly an environmental problem.
Yeah. And then the next problem is sort of the travel to get to these locations. So, I mean, if you think about me traveling from here to the Alps to go skiing, that's like an 8-hour plane ride and then a drive, quite a long drive, up into the Alps. And that's a lot of, emissions being put out via my travel to get there. So not even the problem with the skiing, but the problem with the kind of the need to travel to kind of access these locations.
Additionally, you know, most ski resorts don't have public transport connections. Very few ski resorts do have a train connection, and that can make it really difficult. And of course, like, you know, most people do not live very near to a ski resort. If you live in sort of northern Italy, if you live in Switzerland, if you live in eastern France, southern Germany, maybe you're sort of near that Alpen area. If you live in, you know, Colorado or Vermont, maybe you're near skiing. But most people in the world don't live near a ski resort. And so this means that if for people that do have the privilege to be able to go skiing, it is a long way. And that's, of course, a lot of carbon emissions.
And then there's this kind of whole marketing ploy that a lot of these resorts have, you know, especially in Europe, kind of these ski resorts in the Alps being advertised as super fancy and super kind of ideal. You know, you even get tourists coming from places where skiing is available. So you get tourists coming from places like Colorado and Vermont where you do have skiing, and it's just not in like, you know, these like high rocky mountains. It's like a slightly different type of mountain experience. And so because it's kind of marketed as something different and something that, you know, it's like the family trip and it's like what everyone has to do, then you get people even coming from places where they can go skiing regularly to other places to go skiing. And then that's just extra emissions. That's something that anyone can easily cut down on is, you know, if you're near something, if you're in a place where you can do something, there's no need to travel somewhere else to do that same thing.
Another big problem with ski resorts is that, like, in the summer, it's just so idyllic. And not in the summer, sorry, in the winter, it's so idyllic. And you've got the snow-covered slopes and the foresty mountains and those chairlifts going up and down. You know, it's all so beautiful. But then comes summer, and, you know, as I said, I went on the Tour de Mont Blanc last year, which is sort of a hike circumnavigating Mont Blanc. And we passed a lot of sort of ski areas. And in the summer, it's so sad. Because you get bits of forest and you come out from the forest just onto this long patch of brown grass. And you can see how in the summer, it's like all, not summer, why do I keep saying summer? In the winter, it's like all snowy and beautiful. In the summer, it's just kind of like a dirty, yucky, dirty, grassy, it's not like an idyllic grass slope. It's like a brown grass slope. And it just it's a bit disgusting. And what you can see is that these areas that would have all been alpine woodland, they've all just been chopped down to make these ski runs. And so that's not something that we can necessarily solve, but it would be quite difficult to sort of reforest ski areas. But I think it's something to look at when constructing new ski areas going forwards.
And I mean, it's quite similar in Vermont. I mean, in Vermont, you do have slopes. There's a lot of slopes which have been kind of, they harvest the wood to kind of create the slope. But then there's also sort of this kind of backcountry slopes which go through the woods and kind of reduce the need to deforest forest skiing. But there's nonetheless, they're like, you go, you know, even driving on the highway, you see mountains everywhere with, you know, these little deforested patches where it's clear that, you know, people, that's like a ski location, ski destination left, ski destination right. I wouldn't say that it doesn't look horrible. I mean, in the summer you get green grass growing there, in most of the places, and sometimes wildflowers, but still it's kind of a disturbance to that natural habitat. There's still that human imprint that's left on the land. And so it's still not ideal for the animals that live there, that might, you know, that you might be sharing that space with, to have that land taken down, even if it's not going to be entirely destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was in the Alps, it was definitely like, not nice. It wasn't green grass. It was pretty horrible, sort of brown grass. It didn't look very nice at all. I can tell you that much. Maybe it is different in Vermont. Maybe you do get green grass, but that's what I mean. In fact, if I remember, a long time ago when I was in Falls Creek in Australia in the summer, it was sort of nice green grass. But definitely in the Alps, it was pretty horrible looking grass. And in fact, when I was just skiing this February, there wasn't that much snow, thanks climate change. And the bits that weren't snowy, like the pistes were obviously snowy because of snowmaking, but the bits off-piste were actually, you could see that brown grass, and it was not that pleasant, really, to look at. And obviously sort of these pistes can sort of break up wildlife habitats as well and make it difficult for wildlife to roam around potentially. It depends, you know, if it's a really wide slope and there's like those big blue netting things to stop people falling off, it could be a problem. But also if it's one of those more backcountry slopes, maybe it could sort of work a bit more in harmony with nature.
And then, you know, oftentimes there's this kind of detrimental effect on the surrounding animals. So not only are these areas being deforested, and, you know, that's not the only sort of way that we have this effect on the kind of animals and, you know, bird life in that area, but also there's collisions with the, you know, the, what are they called, the chairlifts, and there's all these different problems. I mean, in one case, there's this ptarmigan, I don't know exactly how you say it, but there's this type of bird from the grouse family, and their numbers declined quite severely over a couple of decades in Scotland as a result of crashes with ski lifts. And so it's kind of this idea, it's not just, you know, it's not just the skiing that's harmful, but it's the idea that we need more ski lifts. There's ski lifts here, ski lifts there. There's these resorts that are encroaching on the environment. We're deforesting to create the slopes. And so then what ends up happening is you get entire, you know, chunks of natural land being wiped out, and you're introducing kind of new elements that these animals might not be used to. And then that might interfere with their lives.
Yeah, totally. And there's, you know, if you look at a lot of peace maps, there's often two chairlifts where one would do. And really, chairlifts are probably more intrusive than slopes because they, you know, you're installing these big sort of steel pillars into the ground, and you have to clear sort of a wide girth of forest, and that's harder to remove as well. So, okay, I think there's one problem that you haven't put there that I think is probably the most important problem, which is snowmaking, artificial snowmaking. So especially now with climate change and rising temperatures and shorter winter seasons and shorter snow seasons, it's a lot harder for ski resorts to get fully sort of snow-covered pistes. And so most ski resorts in the world nowadays do use snowmaking to account for that difference. You know, in the just the recent Beijing 2022 Winter Olympics, they used a lot of snowmaking. In fact, it was entirely artificial snow. And the ski resort I was at this February also used a ton of snowmaking as well, for because, there, as I said, you know, there wasn't even snow off the pistes until it snowed one day, because all the snow had been washed away by rain. It's this snowmaking process is really bad for the environment because it just uses an absolutely astronomical amount of water, but also quite a lot of electricity as well that has to be pumped in systems all around the mountain to these snow guns, snow lancers that push the snow out in like high pressure so that they form the droplets which crystallize in the air and turn into sort of the artificial snow. And that just uses an astronomical amount of water that has to be pumped from reservoirs and the like. So that's a huge environmental problem. Should we move on to the solutions for skiing?
Oh, no, we forgot one thing.
Have we?
You forgot to mention the damage to the vegetation and soil underneath the slope.
Okay, the damage to the vegetation and the soil underneath the slope.
Yeah, so I mean, the this is a problem. It's not the biggest problem, but it is a problem. When you have this kind of industrial skiing, snowboarding, sledding going on in these alpine regions, what happens is you get this, the soil is compacting, and the snow is compacting. And, you know, this can be a problem for animals, which might burrow in the snow or which might burrow in the soil. But this is, you know, it can be the kind of the soil compacting can be a problem in itself because it might kill off any seeds which may have kind of fallen in that area the year before and which would have been growing come spring the following year. And so perhaps that's why there was such little greenery in that alpine region where you were. I'm not sure. I mean, I would assume that it's just, you know, alpine regions get less grass than kind of lower regions such as in Vermont where we get, you know, those slopes get the grass. It could be that the kind of the soil was so compacted that it made it actually hard for grass and for other vegetation to grow in that area. And that is a problem in some places where you get this kind of compacting of the soil and then you don't get plants, shrubberies growing in that area. And then that just makes soil erosion much easier to occur down the slope.
Now let's go to the solutions. And we're going to sort of run through these because they're pretty simple. But a lot of ski resorts are attempting to go green around the world. So this includes the building of renewable energy sources. So obviously one of the bigger electricity usages of ski resorts are, of course, the chairlifts, the toggle lifts, the whatever lifts, the cable cars, all those little things that get to the mountain are super high power electric engines most of the time. And these can easily be switched to renewable sources. When I was skiing in February, one of the lifts in the whole resort was powered by renewable sources. And so that's super cool to see. And that's something that's easy to phase out. Secondly, he should put it at backcountry skiing / snowboarding / sledding as opposed to the use of resort bed slopes. I would completely disagree here because I think as soon as you get a lot of people on the backcountry slopes, then that will I think, have a lot of problems in terms of degrading the natural environment. I think it's much better to sort of have a managed and contained piste system.
Well, the whole idea with backcountry skiing is that there's no set route. So what's in Vermont, it's quite common now, backcountry skiing and snowboarding is they go to kind of rural locations by car or by trek. You know, they trek there, snowshoe there, and then they ski down. And this can be dangerous. I mean, you have to be accustomed to that, the area, but it's definite. I think it's far better than this industrial skiing. And I mean, you might think that it would kind of bring skiing to that area, but that's not the idea, because these backcountry skiers are doing this to avoid the ski scene and to kind of immerse themselves in the nature and the natural beauty of the area.
Perhaps, but I suppose for most people, it's not really that possible to sort of drive to somewhere different or drive to the top of a slope and then ski down. You need a lot of experience. So I doubt it's like a great solution for everyone or a way to try. I don't think everyone or skiers will be able to transition to backcountry slopes. And I still do worry about if the volume of skiers that are on pistes, if those all went on backcountry slopes, I fear there'll be a lot of problems. And also avalanche risk is a big problem, and avalanches can often, of course, like take a lot of other stuff with them. So I'd be slightly worried about that, but we'll leave that in. Next is the use of more naturally barren slopes as opposed to skiing or snowboarding slopes that had to be deforested for the skiing industry to move in. So yeah, when I was in the Alps, I don't know if it was deforested, but there were some bits that were sort of grassy, and then you could see like the sort of dirty bits were where the slopes were, but everywhere else was also grass. And when I was skiing in February, there was sort of one mountain area that was like all forest, and then clearly some bits had been deforested for slopes where there was an area higher up that looked like it didn't have any trees beforehand. So especially if you sort of go higher up or higher altitude, it's quite possible that you could not have to deforest to build ski resorts.
And the next point is kind of actively trying to avoid over-skiing an area that has a plethora of wildlife. And so if you kind of understand the ecosystem around where you are and you're in a place where skiing is common, not kind of going to the same ski location too many times in a year, and also kind of understanding and knowing the nature in the area and which areas are better and at what times of the year they're better to go to, so that you're kind of avoiding a crowd of animals that you could have a negative impact on.
Cool. And last of all is, this is perhaps a very minor point because it only applies to building new ski resorts, is utilizing the removed trees from ski slopes to build ski towns, so that you're sort of keeping it local in a sense. And I think the big solution that I would add to this is definitely to try and get there by train. If you're skiing in Europe, a lot of ski resorts in France, in the Chamonix Valley for one, Bourg-Saint-Maurice for one, Les Arcs, and then also there's a few along the Paris to Turin-Milan train line. There's a few resorts, such as the one I went to in Italy, which are accessible by train, probably a few in Germany and Austria as well. So if you're interested in going skiing, I would definitely recommend looking up which ski resorts have a train or bus connection so that you can take public transport to get there instead of flying. We took the train all the way from Oxford to this small ski resort in Italy. And so that's a big way to drastically, drastically reduce your emissions if you're going skiing, is to take the train there. And it's not possible for every resort, but if you just find a resort that does have a train connection, and also, you know, I'll throw in eat plant-based food while you're there, and try and not be too indulgent. Enjoy the natural beauty of the ski slopes, but, you know, keep it sustainable.
Now let's move on to snowshoeing and winter expeditioning. So snowshoeing is in the winter is much like hiking in the summer. The sustainability of the activity essentially comes down to the person taking part in the activity and their methods as they carry out the activity.
Yeah, so we'll fire through this one. Basically, the problems are disposal of human waste. It's much harder to dig a hole for your in winter than it is in summer. Secondly, fires. If you're going to be doing like really natural, you're not going to be bringing like a tarantula or gas stove or something. It's very labor intensive to build a fire in winter, not much dry wood, obviously, but it also causes unnatural snow melt and ice melt, interfering with sort of the natural order of things. And also when people strip living branches off trees to get drier wood, it can be detrimental to the trees, obviously, and perhaps even kill the trees. Next, obviously, treading on areas with mineral snow compacts the soil beneath, and obviously, littering is a huge environmental problem in expeditioning.
Yep, and so our solutions are only walk on areas with ample snow so that you're minimizing the impact that you have on the soil. Use the toilet before going on the expedition or hike or walk to prevent the call of nature while on the go. Avoid fires if possible. If you need a fire, there's the possibility of using a fire pan to reduce the impact, and try to purchase sustainably sourced wood. Pack extra layers to reduce the need for a fire, and for cooking, try and use a gas stove. Finally, try to give animals space, and of course, do not litter.
I mean, yeah, don't litter anywhere, ever.
Yeah, ever.
Never any excuse for littering.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got litter and there's absolutely nowhere to put it, stuff it in your sock and bring it back to town. Don't litter, okay? I mean, that should be obvious. Like, obviously, something like not littering is a very easy thing for people to do. So, you know, it's one of the most common things on posters, like, stop littering, because that's an easy way to reduce environmental impact. And then people are like, oh, I don't litter, I'm good for the environment. But anyway, that's a tangent. Listen to, God, what was it? The one about, we've done so many episodes now, I can't actually remember which numbers are which, but it was the one about carbon footprint versus climate shadow.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, that was number 22. That's surprisingly recent, but that's where we talked about sort of the, you know, what can you do for the environment that's more than just checking off ticking boxes. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to see some of the links that we've mentioned in this episode, you can access the show note documents. There'll be a link below. And enjoy winter sports sustainably. Come back in 2 weeks for summer sports.
See you later.
Au revoir. Grazie. Ciao.
Okay.